Secretary in Chief Brexit negotiator Liz Truss has said there's a deal to be done with the European Union over the Northern Ireland Protocol, designed, you'll know at this stage, to maintain an open border on the island of Ireland. She was speaking after her first face-to-face meeting with European Commission Vice President Maris Šefčovič. In a joint statement after the talks, the two said the meeting had taken place in a cordial atmosphere. They'd agreed that officials would intensify the talks next week and that they would meet again on the 24th of January. We've been speaking this lunchtime about the protocol negotiations to Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney and asking him about a controversial party in his department during the first COVID lockdown. First, though, he began by expressing his condolences to the family of Aisling Murphy.
Like so many others have said, can I express my condolences with the Murphy family? Really, I think people in the country are talking about little else. This week, it's been an extraordinary shock that's impacted so many people and so many families, but the Murphy family in particular, and of course, Aisling's colleagues and friends. I just wanted to express my condolences with them at the start of this interview.
Yes, well, people are up and down the country just shocked, numbed, horrified at this. But also the business of government continues, and we've had these talks this week, the first face-to-face talks between the EU's chief negotiator, Maris Šefčovič, and the new UK negotiator, Foreign Affairs Secretary Liz Truss. Do you detect in your dealings and your contacts, and you've been speaking, I think, to Mr. Šefčovič, a new approach by the UK or a new momentum?
Well, certainly it's a new approach because the personal relationship between Liz Truss and Maris Šefčovič has started out well. And having spoken to both sides, I think there is a real determination to try to bring the outstanding issues that relate to the protocol and its implementation to a close over the next number of weeks and months. This was an initial meeting. My understanding is that both sides really simply outlined their positions. There wasn't any real progress on trying to find landing zones at this stage, but I don't think that was the purpose of this meeting. This meeting was really about setting the personal relationship in a better place than we've seen for a while. And both sides now have agreed to ensure that their technical teams get involved in intensive negotiations next week in the build-up to the two principals meeting again on the 24th of January. And certainly from my conversations with both sides, I think that process will be a very serious one. And I think in people's minds, we would like to have, if possible, these issues resolved by the end of February so that the elections in Northern Ireland can move ahead without being dominated by the protocol issues right the way to polling day.
Does resolution of all of this become perhaps impossible as we get closer to and move into that election cycle in the North?
Well, I mean, certainly, elections in the North are often polarizing enough affairs without having the added complexity and tension around the protocol and its implementation. So I think everybody is conscious of their responsibility in terms of trying to bring some stability and certainty to Northern Ireland in the context of Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol. And certainly, Maris Šefčovič, from his perspective, really wants to deal with the practical issues on the ground that have been raised with him by businesses and by political leaders in Northern Ireland. And I think the EU is very serious about trying to do that. But at the same time, the protocol is there. It's part of an international treaty. It's part of international law. And so the focus really on the EU side is how do we implement this protocol in a way that is pragmatic and flexible and takes on board the genuine concerns that have been raised in Northern Ireland.
And what?
I think if both sides work on that basis, there is a landing zone that can be agreed over the next 6 or 8 weeks. And certainly from an Irish government perspective, we'll be working to try to assist that process.
And what Liz Truss has been saying today is that she believes there is a deal to be done. She wants to make progress, but she also very pointedly hasn't ruled out the possibility of the UK invoking Article 16. Is it helpful to the process to have that threat still there on the table?
I think the nature of this negotiation is that, I don't expect that the UK side will take something like the use of Article 16 off the table until there's an agreement. And that's just the nature of negotiations. But I have to say, I think the consequences of the triggering of Article 16 in a way that sets aside large elements of the protocol would be hugely damaging to the relationships that we're now trying to build to solve these issues through negotiation and good politics. So, you know, I don't expect that that Article 16 will be triggered. If it is, then I think it'll move us into a different space that we don't want to go to. But I think, I mean, having spoken to and spent quite a bit of time with Liz Truss last week, I think the focus will be on negotiation, compromise, and, you know, pragmatic solutions to real problems. If both sides approach it with that mindset, then I think we can resolve these issues. It's not easy. If it was, they would have been resolved by now. But at least I think there's been a reset in terms of the personal relationships between the two negotiating teams. And I think Liz Truss has tried to ensure that at the start of the year.
What about, Minister, the possibility of the political crisis, the domestic political crisis within the Conservative Party in Britain on all of this, the uncertainty over Boris Johnson's leadership, all the investigations in relation to the COVID lockdown parties at number 10 and elsewhere, Liz Truss possibly a leadership contender if there is a vacancy. Is that feeding into all of this?
Well, I mean, look, I think we have to try to separate that issue from the practical, real issues on the ground in Northern Ireland that we're trying to solve. And, you know, really that's a matter for Liz Truss and her team to manage. Who knows what will happen in British politics in the weeks ahead. But my focus and the focus of Mairead Sefcovic is on solving problems that have been around for too long. And to allow Northern Ireland to move on with certainty from this ongoing debate around the implementation of the protocol that has caused such, you know, polarised opinion and tension in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is that can we expect Boris Johnson to focus on resolving the protocol, the Brexit issues, getting these negotiations concluded while he's facing all these pressures?
Well, I think that's why Liz Truss is there. You know, and I think it's a good thing that the Brexit issues and the protocol issues are back in the Foreign Office in London rather than in a separate unit led by Lord Frost. There are big issues at the moment that Britain and the EU should be working together on. And I think Liz Truss sees that.
Minister, on the question of lockdown parties, the champagne party in your own department in June 2020, I want to ask you about this, a celebration, we understand, of Ireland securing a seat on the UN Security Council. Were you at this celebration at any stage?
No, I wasn't. I was in the department of the Taoiseach that night. This was the 17th of June 2020, and it was an evening when I, with the Taoiseach, was watching in the Department of the Taoiseach the vote in the UN that resulted in us gaining a seat on the Security Council after 3 or 4 years of campaigning to be there. Unfortunately, in my department, there were 20 or so officials who'd been very much involved in that successful campaign. And when the vote came through, they celebrated in a way that they shouldn't have. They let their guard down. I have to say they're all mortified by what happened now. And that shouldn't have happened. And the department has apologised for it.
And did you join the gathering, that group, at any stage?
Well, I was back in my department working later on that night, but it was about an hour and three quarters after the vote, because I had been in the Department of the Taoiseach. We'd held a very public press conference that night in the Department of the Taoiseach, which RTE would have been at. Mm-hmm. It was after that I needed to go back to my department to finish my day's work. I called into the UN section to thank the people who were still there for the work that they'd done.
Right. So the gathering was still underway at that
day.
The gathering was still underway at that stage when you called in?
No, I mean, people were at work, you know, and when I arrived, there certainly wasn't a party going on, that's for sure.
And how long were you there?
I was there for about 10 minutes because I still had work to do. I was back up in my office after that because I was due to call the Norwegian Foreign Minister because they had also been elected onto the Security Council. And I had, was also involved in some briefings in relation to the trying to agree a programme for government because this was about 10 days out from the formation of the new government.
So when then, Minister, were you made aware of this breach of COVID rules in your own department?
I was told by my team that there had been a photograph that was put up on Twitter by the Secretary General. That clearly was not a good idea, but it had happened.
You were told at the time, June 2020?
No, well, I was told, I think, later on that evening. To be honest with you, that wasn't the focus, my focus that evening at all. I didn't know that there was you know, an inappropriate gathering, albeit temporarily after the vote at all. I didn't know that that had happened. I was told later on that a photograph was tweeted out and was later on, I think late that evening after midnight, was taken down. And my Secretary General at the time acknowledged that it shouldn't have happened. And it was a momentary, I think, drop of our guard, I think is what he said.
So did you take did you seek an investigation, further details?
No, I didn't. I mean, you know, I clearly didn't think that was a good idea. Well, because I, you know, this was something that had happened. It was quite public because it was put up on social media. It was taken down. There was an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, if you like. And I, you know, I trusted my Secretary General and I felt that, you know, clearly what happened shouldn't have happened.
Yes, but
I didn't feel that there was a need for follow-up after that.
But we're told that lessons have been learned. How do you learn lessons if you don't carry out some kind of investigation?
Well, because I think that the Secretary General who was there, of course, needed to ensure that the department didn't allow a repeat of that dropping of the guard, if you like, particularly at a time when, you know, the country was and continues to be rightly very sensitive in terms of, you know, adherence to restrictions linked to COVID. People like me and my department need to lead by example. This is something that I think many in the department are very embarrassed about and feel ashamed,
you see,
about. But it's, you know, it happened. It didn't happen since.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think
but
from that point of view, the lesson was learned.
In other cases, there have been follow-up inquiries, haven't there? Is there one rule for the Department of Foreign Affairs and another for everyone else?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I'm, of course, happy to take any questions that that people want to ask me in relation to this issue, as is my new Secretary General.
Will you go before the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs Committee if you're asked to answer further questions?
Oh, I will, of course. Yeah, I mean, I'll always go before the Oireachtas Committee for Foreign Affairs if they want to ask me about anything.
Right. Just a final issue, Minister. The ongoing Garda investigation into the Tánaiste about the alleged leaking of the GP contract. Can Mr. Varadkar become Taoiseach later this year if that investigation is continuing?
Well, I certainly hope that that investigation will have concluded long before the Tánaiste is due to become Taoiseach, and I expect that it will. And so, you know, the sooner that that investigation draws to a conclusion, the better. And I think many expected that it would have concluded before now. But look, that's a matter for the guards, and I don't think I should get involved in that.
But can someone occupy the office of Taoiseach and be under Garda investigation?
Like I said, this is a matter for the guards. I hope that investigation can conclude as soon as possible, but it's a matter for the guards, and I don't want to influence that in any way.
The Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, speaking to us before we came on air. After this short break,